The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now I'm joined by author, psychiatrist and psychologist Dr. Gwen Adshead, who's here to talk about her newly published book. It's called Unspeakable: Stories of Survival and Transformation After Trauma, which she co-wrote with Eileen Horn. You're very welcome to the show, Gwen. Hello.
Hello, Claire. Thank you very much for having me.
Delighted to have you with us. And maybe a good place to start might be just to find out a little about you, because you worked in one of the first trauma clinics in the UK. Can you tell us about that place? Who did it treat? What was it for?
Yes, I worked at a trauma clinic at the Maudsley Hospital. There was one also at the Middlesex Hospital, but I worked at the Maudsley Hospital, which was initially funded in order to support different kinds of victims of trauma. And it was very much a focus on people's experiences of different kinds, particularly transport trauma, but also different kinds of family violence, like domestic violence, but also sexual abuse.
And I know that you say in the introduction to this book that it's not a book about trauma. It's about coming out the other side of it. And it is a very optimistic and hopeful book. But I suppose it's useful for us to define trauma, if that's possible, because I could experience something that causes me trauma. You might have a similar experience and not carry the wound. So it's a nebulous thing, isn't it?
I think you put your finger on something which is really important. And of course, there's quite a lot of concern that the word trauma is used so widely for different kinds of experience that it almost loses its meaning. But as you mentioned the word wound, and that, of course, is the meaning of the original word. But people can have different kinds of wounds that heal at different rates. And in my experience, traumatic events are ones that change your identity. And that can happen suddenly, as in after a big transport accident, or it can happen slowly, as in domestic violence. And so what we're looking at when we're taking a story from people, we're listening to people's stories, we're trying to work out what they've been through, what the worst thing is for them, and what it's done to the way that they think about themselves and their relationships with other people. A very personalized approach.
And is it age dependent? So when the trauma occurs in your life, does that bear a relationship to the impact it is likely to have on you?
It certainly does. The age at which it first happens certainly makes a difference. But you have to put that alongside too how long it goes on for, because a one-off event when you're 4 or 5 may not have a lasting impact at all. But if it goes on over a long period of time, and particularly if the trauma, if you're experiencing childhood violence, if that's coming from a carer, a mother or a father or both, or a family member, and if that goes on over time, that can be particularly disturbing to people and have an impact on how their sense of their self develops.
Mm-hmm. There's so many great examples in this book, but the one that really struck me was the man who had the panic attack when he was boarding a plane. And that man had no idea that an experience that he had as a child was preventing him from being able to step onto that plane years later. But then when I read that he'd experienced a hijacking, I mean, it all made total sense, didn't it?
Yes, it was extraordinary. And his experience really was one of the many stories I've heard that just taught me such a lot about the variety and diversity of trying to understand the human responses to traumatic events. Because he was only a teenager. But your teenage years are when your identity is really forming as a young adult. But you're also still a bit of a child. And so he had an experience which probably only lasted 12 hours, maybe 16, but they were terror-filled hours. Mm-hmm. They were awful hours. And he'd had a good childhood up till then, but this event he dealt with by putting it away out of his mind, as so many people do, and that's not unreasonable. But the only problem is that sometimes traumatic events like that can kind of, particularly if they're associated with unresolved anger or sadness, They can kind of permeate your mind still and be reactivated later.
And what reactivates them? I mean, can we figure that out? What is the trigger? Because it's like a latent virus, like a cold sore virus, isn't it, in some cases?
That's a really nice analogy, Claire. I really like that because it kind of goes to something a bit more organic. I have a bit of an aversion to the word trigger because it kind of conjures up the image of the mind as a loaded gun just waiting to explode. And I don't think it's like that. I think it's something much more organic that can get into your system and affect how you see the world. And I think for this man, his sense of helplessness and rage at the people who were belittling him and humiliating him kind of affected how he related to other people. And he became someone who really liked to be in control. So when he came into therapy, one of the things that he found very difficult was the sense of being in any way vulnerable with the therapist. He found being, and that sense of vulnerability in the sense that the therapist was telling him to do something, which wasn't really the case, but, you know, that kind of activated some anger that was not resolved and that needed to be worked through.
And you talk as well about when people come to therapy, they often can't speak.
Yes.
At all, or about what has happened to them. How do you deal with that?
Well, the first thing to say is that we give people permission not to speak. So, and that's the first thing, because I think people often feel they're caught in what I think of as the trauma survivor's dilemma, which is that people know they have to talk about this stuff, but actually finding the words to do it is incredibly difficult. So one of the first things we do is to give people permission to say, we know this is hard. You don't have to do this all at one go. You don't have to go deep and dig out everything and tell us all the horrible details immediately. Let's just start at the surface and work our way down. Let's just start with what's most on your mind and what you can say. And we'll just stay with what you can say. Mm-hmm. And often we invite people to talk about what they can feel in their bodies, or what thoughts are going through their minds, and particularly what they're most concerned about. Because the thing that I've really learned from listening to trauma survivors is that it's very easy to make assumptions about what trauma survivors are worried about. And it's really important that we don't do that, that we make time to let people speak for themselves about what they're most concerned about.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll have people listening to this who say, well, have I been traumatized? Do I need treatment? How do you know?
Well, I think people do know. If you're aware that you're struggling with something, then that's it comes and goes. In fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday, a highly functional person, really, you know, had a good job, a lovely partner, happy family life, but still felt that they were wrestling with some unresolved psychological pain. But that didn't mean that they were kind of traumatized or wounded or permanently damaged, but only that they were struggling with psychological pain. And they came to talk to me about what they might do about that, which was extremely sensible and a kind of healthy thing to do. So one of the things that I, you know, really want to encourage people, and Eileen and I, in writing this book, wanted to encourage people to take time to look after your mind. And to not necessarily see yourself as permanently damaged, but to see yourself as someone who may have psychological pain that needs attention.
Sometimes, Gwen, to cut across you, but sometimes it can run very deep in that it can be intergenerational, right?
Yes, yes. And I think that can be very subtle and difficult because children become very aware of their parents' pain and fear, and indeed, of course, of unresolved anger. And then that can affect how children develop their own emotional responses. And that's the way that transgenerational distress can make its way across generations.
Gwen, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you and to remind people the book is called Unspeakable, Stories of Survival and Transformation After Trauma. And you might be aware of Gwen's previous work, which was a Sunday Times best-selling book called The Devil You Know, also written in conjunction with Eileen Horn. Dr. Gwen Adshead, thank you very much for being with us on the programme.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.